Hello, this is James Gilmartin, and welcome to another episode of Delicate Wrinkles. This is episode 9, or Progress Report 4. It is Monday at 11:28 p.m., another late evening. Yes, indeed. Wouldn't have it any other way on a Monday night. Nice and cold outside, still in my office, hoodie on. Got my stocking cap on tonight. Radiator, little electric radiator's on. It's still freezing in here. So it's a new week. I'm not gonna lie, last week was no reason beating around the bushes. It was kind of hell. We'll get into that some. Had like 6 or 7 pages of notes ready to use today. Left my notebook at the office, back at work. Thought I had put it in my backpack, but apparently I did not. I was past 5 minutes of scrounging through it, trying to find it. Couldn't. But I remember a lot of what I wanted to talk about. Might be sporadic in parts tonight, partly because I'm exhausted. Had a coffee late last night and ended up not falling asleep till about 2:30 or 3. And then getting up at 6, it's like, man, it's gonna set up for a long day. It's all good. Today's episode might not reach an hour, but again, that's all right. If you listen to last week's episode, discussed negative self-talk. It was tempting last week to fall into thinking negatively about myself. There was some, I guess, misunderstanding with the purpose of the podcast. With that episode, a couple family members did not respond well. Some verbal fighting ensued via text. Always classy. I feel like writing is more my strength than talking, but who knows. Anyway, not going to say one party was more right than the other, or one more wrong than the other. Things were said that would have been better left unsaid. I mean, it was pretty bad. I was really ashamed of myself, I'm not going to lie. It's like, any of you may know, when you've been hurt before in the past, a typical response when you feel like you're getting attacked verbally or emotionally, like you've built up years of defense mechanisms, responses, triggers, a whole variety of ways to respond. Sadly, a lot of times those ways aren't the healthiest. Mine certainly wasn't. I don't know, it's just, it's weird, like, I didn't really have any anger, but as, messages continued to come, and I guess what made me the maddest wasn't that they didn't like the podcast. I mean, I don't care about that. I have this problem with, like, if someone disagrees with me, if they don't give me specifics as to why they disagree with me, if I don't get some examples, some specific information, I get upset because I'm like, well, you know, being vague about it doesn't help me. I'm not going to just agree with somebody if there's no, like, backing for it. And some things were said like along the lines that just kept, you know, repetitiveness, and I responded poorly, spoke negatively to a couple of siblings, said some things that, like, I said some things that would have been better left unsaid. Not that there's things that I don't believe, it's just they're really hurtful things that probably shouldn't have been said, at least not in that emotional anger, like, you're hurting me, so I want to hurt you. It's just this back and forth, and I'm like, man, this, it was also overwhelming, and I'm sure a lot of you who are out there listening have experienced the same thing. I mean, I don't know a friend I've talked to who hasn't. A couple friends, they're like, oh no, you know, that's it's a typical holiday for me, or I remember doing stuff like that, or arguments like that occurring years back. It's weird. People we feel like we should be closest to, be able to talk to the easiest, can be the most difficult, you know? I know something that got brought up by a couple of family members was like, well, you know, if you ever had problems like that in the past or feeling like it now, you know, well, why don't you come to us and talk to us? And that was one of the things I'd been thinking about the past week. Like, but then I remembered, really thought, weighed it, objectively looked at it, not let myself be driven by emotions, because I want to make it clear, in the past I would have let emotion drive me, and I'd be like, oh, you know, I made them feel bad, I don't want to make anyone ever feel bad, I feel bad for making them feel bad, they've made me feel bad, this whole thing, emotions would dictate how to respond. I'm like, well, I don't want anyone to feel bad anymore, let's just forget it and move on, act like it never happened. And, you know, decades of that is not healthy, I've come to realize. You know, when therapists and, you know, anybody who knows anything about psychology is like saying, you know, no, that's not healthy, you shouldn't just, you know, act like it didn't happen or ignore it, move on, because, you know, looking back I realize, well, no, because they become, you know, when that's your personality or when that's your habit, it's going to continue, and someone's going to continually get hurt. And so the whole, you know, aspect of forget and move on, like, that's what I grew up around. And so me personally, I never felt like I could go, if I had a grievance with someone in the family, or say someone just hurt my feelings. I'm not innocent. I've done this before. Kind of had this mentality of like, oh, poor baby, I hurt your feelings, big freaking deal. I know I've personally said that a lot, and looking back, I'm like, man, that was not very kind of me. But that tends to happen, and not just my family, I think a lot of people's families, when we look back, we're like, man, you know, family, you know, you'd think should listen to each other more than anybody else, but we seem to be quick to respond in this, like, go get over it type mentality. I don't know what's happened. Like, I say I don't know what's happened. I've never, like, really experienced it, so maybe this is the norm. Maybe this is how normal families act, and the ones who communicate well are the abnormal ones. If so, that's a shame. But like I was saying, there seemed to be this, like, I can see frustration on the other side's end, you know, like, oh, if he was feeling this way, why didn't he talk to us? And it's like, well, you know, never really felt like I had that opportunity, you know, growing up. When you grow up around the same people, like, a lot of your personality can develop from that, and you know, not just with them, but with anybody, I have a very difficult time with confrontation. There's this whole idea that, like, if I have a problem with someone, there's like, I guess, this deep internal fear that if I bring it up, they won't want to be around me anymore. They won't either want to be my friend, or, you know, back before Christina and I got married, she won't want to be my fiance anymore. There's been times while we've been married where I thought she didn't want to be my wife anymore because of that. And it's like, that's not healthy, you know. Healthy is like, hey, you know, I love you, but what you're doing here, it affects me negatively. I just thought I'd say it in the most compassionate, loving way I can. And a normal response would be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was hurting you. Let's talk about it. You know, too much from what I hear from friends, what they've experienced, what I've experienced is this, like, someone brings it up and the other person gets defensive. I've been on both sides. I brought it up and been the recipient of defense, like, oh, you know, the whoever I brought it up to got real defensive and upset with me, it made me feel guilty for bringing it up in the first place. And then, like, I've been on the other end where someone brought it up to me and I do the same thing, and I realize, like, gosh, you know, it's true. Like, what I learned in Celebrate Recovery, hurt people hurt people. Like, if you're a hurt person, you hurt people. just sounds weird putting it together. Hurt people hurt people. It's like I'm saying it twice. Anyway, moving on. there's like this vicious pattern. At one point I'm like, I can't stand it when people won't listen to me and let me express it, and they just get defensive. But then I realize, but I do the same thing. And so it's like, you know, because that's all I've ever known. You know, I've never seen, like, healthy communication. You know, like, notorious for, like, if I have a problem with someone, griping about them to someone else. But if I confront them, there's that fear that we will be disconnected forever. And, man, it's just, it's not a good way, because then when you're around that person, like, I'd be around them but afraid to speak how they made me feel or what they did, like, negatively affected me or negatively affected someone I care about. And then there's this, like, tension when around that person. And it's like, wait, I'm starting to realize now, like, life's too short to deal with that. Like, it is, man. Don't need to be constantly, like, anxious around certain people because, you know, you feel like you can't speak to them. And so I'm like, well, what do I do? Do I just ignore them? Or do I, you know, I don't think that's the answer, the first answer. I think the first is like, well, let's give them the opportunity. You know, like, while I've seen this in the past, while I've experienced this in the past, maybe things have gotten different. Most times they don't. However, I'm like, well, maybe this time will be, but let's give them the opportunity, the benefit of the doubt, and just bring it up in a very Christ-like, caring, compassionate way. You know, like, hey, you know, I don't know if I ever told you this or if you remember, but when, you know, this really hurt me, like, not just like, oh, I felt bad for a little bit, but, like, really, like, affected my heart, you know, tore at my soul. Like, these are deep things, and they shouldn't be, like, criticized, they shouldn't be, like, downplayed, you know, because we're all different. We experience things differently, we see things differently, we think differently, and, you know, what may affect someone, like, deeply negative, you know, like, just really crush their spirit, may not the same to someone else. But that doesn't mean we should downplay it, you know. And I'm not talking, like, I always worry that someone will misinterpret what I'm saying, but I'm not talking about someone like, oh, you know, when I was 8, I wasn't allowed to buy this toy and forever been tormented by it. It's like, well, no. It's like, no, when someone, like, harped on you and criticized you and made you feel like you were worthless, like, you can never do any good because they're maybe like a very influential person. Like, for example, I remember hearing about, I know who it is, I just want to keep names out of it. A younger person did not get too great grade on a report card. Parental figure tells that younger person along the lines like, I'm so disappointed in you, like, it was more than disappointed, because like that can be like, no one wants to hear their parents say, I'm really disappointed in you. Sometimes we need to hear that, though, because it's like, oh, man, I don't want to disappoint them. And you think about it, and you're like, okay, they're right. But this was like, I wish I could remember it. And I hate that I brought it up, because I can't remember it. But it was like, something along the lines of that young person being, like, terrible, without saying the words terrible. I just remember when I first heard it, like, I can't remember the words exactly, but what I remember are the faces of the people as they told it to me, and then, like, the shock I felt that a parental figure would say that to a younger person, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, and it happened, like, well, probably, like, 8 or 9 years ago, but I guarantee you, if something triggered that, it would greatly affect that person to this day. You know, because hearing it, I just realized that there's some emotional trauma there that's going to affect that person for a long time, especially with who said it. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, those are the things I don't think we don't need to keep bottled up inside. And I'm not saying, like, nitpick at a person for every little wrong thing they may have done to you. Like, I don't think that is going to be productive. But what I found beneficial is, like, writing down a list, you know, and writing it down and seeing how it makes you feel after you've written it down and being like, all right, don't want to hold on to this pain. Don't want to let it, like, corrode my heart still. Do I want to let it go? And I think most of us want to let it go. Sometimes it's hard to, because if it's pain we've had for so long, that pain can have a weird false sense of comfort, and we don't know what life would be like without that pain. But it's life's only going to be better without it. Easier said than done. Always easier said than done. But writing it down, I've been doing a lot of journal writing this past week, just trying to understand a lot of the stuff that's been going on. But yeah, write it down and like be like, okay, you know, do I just ignore it? No, because you've probably been ignoring it for years now. Do you confront them? You got to think like, will the confronting help? Sometimes just writing it down is enough. Being like, okay, I've written it all down. I don't need to see this person anymore or talk to them. If the person asks why, maybe I could tell them. Maybe I can't. I know sometimes it's fine to be like, well, at this time in my life, I just think it's good that, you know, we not spend time with each other. I don't know, though. The way that can come off, especially if the person doesn't quite understand, but with how personalities are so different and people grow up differently and are treated differently, it's just such a it's this dynamic that if you spend a lot of time thinking and negatively thinking of yourself, as I have, or obsessing over things, like, you can come up with hundreds of thousands of different scenarios and none seem to be the right one and just drive yourself crazy. And that's what I'd been doing past week. And it wasn't until today that I actually felt some relief, some peace, and just kind of was able to really let go a lot of that tension. Today's been a really good day. But last week was rough. And there's going to be those highs and lows. I had just been, since seeing a therapist, since getting on meds, I had just experienced highs. And it wasn't until this past week that the lows started coming back. Like, and I could feel it because I was obsessing, doing that thing where I am at, like, go back over every single scenario of what happened, the entire argument via text, like the hateful things I said, the hateful things they said, how they were wrong, how I needed to word it better, like what could I have said. And then my imagination breaks out and I think of like 50 to 75 different potential future interactions with that person, good, bad, you know, like how am I going to respond? Almost like I'm preparing myself for some like emotional verbal battle. And I don't know, it's as if something inside me is ingrained to like never be caught off guard again because of stuff that has happened in the past. And I just, I always have this inner turmoil with myself of accepting that this is how my mind works. And but also trying mental exercises to not let that obsession get the best of me, because it can really greatly affect the day. I know I've been thinking nonstop about it on Thursday last week. It's funny, work just flew by because I was constantly at my phone. That was the last day I spoke to the two individuals. And we haven't spoken since. I don't know if we ever will. Like, I mean, it got heated. Like, I did not let up. And they didn't either. And it was one of those things where I was like, man, looking back, I'm like, I should have ignored it. But it's difficult for me to ignore things. I have one of those personalities, you know, where it's like, if someone misunderstands something I'm saying or doing, or they're misrepresenting it, misinterpreting it, it's like, it's the refusal to want to understand. Or when someone has figured it, like, formed their own opinion and doesn't want to see another way, I get really irrationally angry, and I don't like that about myself. And as I've said in earlier podcasts, that's why I try to stay away from arguments, because if I get caught into it, I have a very difficult time getting out of it. And I wish it weren't the case, but man, I'm sure there's plenty of you out there who are like, oh, I know what you mean. So I used to, back when chat rooms were the big thing, back when chatting first like got popular, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, like I would just go to different chat rooms just to try and form debates with people. Like, it could be on so many different things. I remember I had debate, like, it just sounds so stupid, going to one debate, you know, atheists, or I'd debate with Muslims, debate with Jewish people, or I'd debate, like, I grew up Catholic, but not Catholic anymore. I did debate with Catholics, but then I debate with Protestants that Catholics are Christians. I would debate with people who were like Seventh-day Adventists, or I debate with people who believe that only the King James Bible is the proper Bible, the only one you should read. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like, I got caught in the internet. Like, those chat rooms were bad for someone with a personality like me, because it's like someone would just have to say one thing, and it's like I'd latch onto it because I had this weird need to think like, oh, they haven't heard it this way. And it's like, nah, they have. Because now, looking back, when I really break down various arguments I've partaken in, or debates, discussions, it's like when emotion becomes involved, what the other person says, like, may sound like the Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, the wah wah wah, because who's really listening? You know, when emotions are running high, when you're just wanting to, you know, state your point of view, you know, like, you're not listening anymore. And so it's like, there's no point to it. You know, you're just talking to get someone to change their mind. How many people, like, change their mind in a heated discussion. I've never seen it, like, where two people are arguing and one person is like, you know what, I completely see your view. And I'm talking about, you know, those arguments where emotions have definitely gotten into it. You're yelling. Some of you may have seen your parents see that. Some of you who are married may, you know, have verbal arguments with your spouse. I know I've had plenty. And you know, I'll admit, when emotions are high, it's like all I'm thinking about is saying my side, is making sure that my side is heard. And when we get this attitude, like, how are we really, you know, like, learning what's going on with the other person? We're not. We're just, nobody's listening. And that's what's tough. And when I realize that, I've always got two options. I can be like, well, okay, they're not listening, I need to just move on. You know, nothing I can do about it now. I explain my piece. If they want to listen, great. If they don't, well, you know, that's their choice. Everybody has a choice, you know. And, but man, please comment if you feel the same way. It's like something pulls me. Like, no, you can't let them. You can't leave this with them thinking this way. And I don't know why I think that. And I know I'm not the only one. Arguments go on all the time. And I wish it didn't. Because when I get emotionally charged in an argument, my wife has said it. She's like, you sometimes are a word wizard and you can get real mean. Because when I feel like I'm getting attacked, I just uncover things I've observed over the years and just like chink away at armor. And that's why I don't like it. I say mean things, like I want to crush a person's spirit, and that's not right. You know, just because they've affected me mentally or emotionally doesn't mean I, you know, in a negative way, doesn't mean I need to do that whole eye for an eye, tooth for tooth mentality. Healing doesn't occur when that, well, healing doesn't happen when that occurs, you know. You just have two people fighting and two people hurting each other and then two people grown possibly to hate each other, you know, and I can't take back the things I had said. I mean, today what made me feel like a weight lifted off was I spent some time and wrote down an apology for the way I acted. So they wouldn't think I was lying. And because there's always that idea, like, yeah, you're saying you're sorry, but you said those things and you can't take those things back. And I wanted to be as honest as possible, be like, hey, you know, I hated that I acted that way. I'm not saying that what I said is not true, like, that I don't believe those things, because I do. I just wish I hadn't said them, and especially in that way. And, you know, for the first time, like, I really remembered something from Celebrate Recovery was when you, like, do kind of like your amends or confession or telling someone who hurt you in the past that they hurt you. In Celebrate Recovery, we learn, you know, like, the best way to do it, remember, it's for you, the individual. Like, I apologized for myself, not for them. It's up to them to accept it, not me. And as long as I remember that, I don't have these expectations, these unrealistic expectations. Because if these if you had these unrealistic expectations, as I used to have constantly, you know, I'd apologize and have these expectations of someone responding like, oh, you know what, I'm sorry too. Like, you know, I reacted poorly. And, you know, this like, oh, I'm sorry, you're sorry, oh, let's be friends again. But if that doesn't happen, what's the result? Usually the fight gets worse. I've experienced that where it's like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, and the other person doesn't apologize. I've even experienced where the other person's like, well, I'm not sorry. you know, or I don't accept your apology. And then it's like even bigger fight happens and you're mad at that person more than you were before. And then you're like, why did I even say sorry? I didn't mean it. And you just, the negativity intensifies. And I'm like, man, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, we continually, like, we go through this perpetual motion of just hurt. And it's like, why? And it's like, because we don't want to accept that we may have hurt someone else. Which is ironic, because, like, this all stemmed from, like, a couple family members saying my podcast really hurt the family. And I'm like, really? And I guess I put off this persona that I didn't care if it hurt them. And that's not the case at all. The case it was, like, I wanted to know how it did, you know? Because it caught me off guard. I'm like, well, you know, tell me why. Tell me how. If it did, let me know. I mean, one family member did talk to me and was like, do you dwell on this stuff? I'm like, no, I don't dwell on this stuff. Like, I don't have hard feelings now. I'm just doing this show, you know? And you know, I'm an open book. You know, some people aren't. You know, and but it's like if I don't talk about it, you know, it's like I'm just holding it in. You know, but I like my average viewers, people I don't know out there, people who are friends. Like, I've been encouraged by them saying, you know, how much it's helped them, and also encouraged. It's like, oh no, I don't look at your family negatively. It helps me see how my family's been. And I'm like, oh great, okay, awesome. And so it's like, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like, step back and like, well, you know, someone mentioned you a couple of times on a podcast. How would you feel? I don't know. I'm not gonna say I'd feel great about it or I'd feel bad about it, because honestly, I don't know. It's one of those things I've learned, like, don't ever say this is how you would respond without a shadow of a doubt, because honestly, unless we're in that situation, we never know. And it sucks. And like, thinking people think you hate them or something. And that's also what bugs me. I always hated it when people are like, oh, I've talked with people where they're like, oh man, I thought you like just were a jerk and didn't like me. And that always blew me off, or not blow me away, because I'd be like, whoa, what did I do that caused that? Like, and get really embarrassed and freak out about it and obsess over what I may have done. Because deep down, I think, you know, we all want to be able to share with people and have good experiences with people. And when someone hurts us, there's just something that occurs. And we have this problem with hurting each other. And I guess that's what I've been really trying to convey in this progress report, because last week, I'll say it again, it was nutballs. Like, there's no, let me see, best way to describe it. At times it felt like a dream. Or a weird nightmare. Like, is this really happening? You know, have ties been broken? Have bridges been burned? Like, it's weird. But today was different. And if I was glad, you know, woke up in a good mood, read a little bit of the Gospel of Mark, and then went to work. And I wrote that apology and I sent it. And I'm like, you know what? I don't expect anything back. You know, if they don't ever want to talk to me again, I fully understand. But if I had never written what I'd written and got it out there, I wouldn't have been able to rest. You know, my spirit would have been restless. Because it's like, nah, I need to... admit to what I felt I did wrong. And that was how I reacted. And I know some of this sounds vague, but gosh, I don't want to get into the details of some of the things I said, because if that person's listening, I don't want them to re-experience it. I'm sure they've thought about it enough. I know I would. I know the things that were said to me I've obsessed over. Because it truly does make you wonder, like, when you hear someone say you're remembering something wrong. You know, if you grew up experiencing trauma where, you know, you had a mom who told you that all the time, or who tried to make you feel like you're wrong, even though you knew you weren't, it gets you to question yourself. And it's like, that can be upsetting, especially when you're going through this thing where for the first time in your life you're having confidence in your own thoughts and your own feelings about things and really learning how to objectively approach your own feelings and thoughts. Having some people call you a liar or just looking for an attention, that can really cut deep at you. And those were some things I experienced, and it really caused me, like, I think at one point I spent about 1 to 2 hours just dwelling on why a couple of siblings thought I was a liar. Because it's like, if a sibling told me they experienced some sort of emotional or verbal abuse, you know, I would like to think my first reaction would be like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Because, you know, siblings experience things differently, you know. I hate to say it, but, you know, I lived, you know, where some siblings were treated better because they didn't have the mental disorders that were so, I guess, frustrating, you know, the ADD and the OCD as I have. And so one child who's not, like, constantly, like, stop it, knock it off, you know, if that child's not paying attention to it, how's that child going to remember it? You know, if you have two children, a brother and a sister, and one is treated much better than the other, the one who's treated better isn't going to remember the negative things that happened to the sibling, you know. They're just not. And so I found it frustrating. I'm not going to say funny or humorous, because it wasn't. It greatly angered me when some siblings said, you know, it wasn't that bad, or others have had it worse than you. And it's like, well, you know, but you can't say that. You know, people experience things differently, and that's what I hope to convey. Like, it's a bad idea to tell people, like, others have had it worse, because we could say that to so many people, you know. Yeah, other people have had it worse. That doesn't mean what I'm experiencing isn't bad, isn't great, negatively affecting me, because it does. My wife is currently dealing with some stuff, and I don't fully understand it, but what I know is it's causing her a lot of anxiety. It's causing her some negative thoughts about herself. And so that means I need to just be there and listen, and by no means tell her to get over it. Because that's not the proper approach. That's the approach I used to always take. And I'm, for the first time, well, not first time, I am learning more and more that's a terrible approach, saying get over it. I remember, that used to be my go-to, like, here's what you need to do, like, I have all the answers, you know, or here is step by step what you need to do. I'm going to help you fix it. And I guess, you know, it's like, what kind of mentality do you have when it comes to, you know, people expressing their feelings to you or you expressing to them? Like, for starters, my thing is, if you're a person like me, you know, or any of us that experience emotional trauma or problems, mental, like, we need to talk to somebody. You know, it's best to share, to be able to vent, to talk, to just get it out and feel like someone cares and is listening. Like, on our end, I've learned, like, don't talk to someone who is of the personality that wants to fix it or is going to, like, lean toward the what they think of as tough love or get over it approach. It's not healthy. It's not going to be helpful to you. It's going to make you feel worse. I know I felt worse by making that mistake. And all it's going to do is create animosity between you and that person, make you dislike them or think real negatively of them. And then, I mean, I've been on both sides. And like, if you're a person who realizes you have said that to people, it's like, well, was I really helping them? You know, because 9 times out of 10, people, when they talk to us, they don't want us to fix their problem. Them talking it out is allowing their brain, their emotions, to work out the problem on their own. And that's what's important. And that's what's so good about just listening to somebody talk. Which I hope y'all have kept up. I'm realizing, man, it feels like I've been rambling and just going off the deep end on this. I don't know. It's like, dang it, James, next time you better have your notebook, because this episode's been crazy. Maybe not crazy. It's been like all over the place. I don't know. I hope there's substance to it. I'm not going to worry about it because I'll just drive myself crazy. But let's go back to the topic. Listening. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's like, because I'm such a terrible listener. But more and more, like, I'm wanting to listen to my children and my wife more. And be like, okay, let's really try and listen and see what's going on. And I'm wanting to do that more because I realize, like, I felt like I was never listened to growing up by, like, anybody. Not just my family, but, like, some friends, teachers, you know, like, that I really didn't get to be heard. And for a while, though, that had an adverse reaction where, like, all I wanted was people to hear me so I would never listen. You know, things like that happen. Like, I felt like it happened a bit in college when I first got married, when I first got into therapy. Because when I first got into therapy, I kind of forgot that my wife deals with issues, too. But she and I have been talking about that. And, you know, I've been trying to do a better job of not bogarting the mental disorder parade that is our home. But listening. We all want to be listened to. We all want to be heard. And it's not even that the other person has to, like, agree with this, because I don't think that's what it is either. But I think it's, like, consider what we're feeling, what we've experienced, you know, to just be able to admit, okay, something affected you. I'm not going to right away jump on board and say it's this, but I am willing to listen and let you tell your side, tell what's going on, be objective as possible. Because I'm realizing more and more, like, you know, it's not about you. It's not about me. A lot of times when someone's, like, kind of getting mad or frustrated, it's about something deeper. And when we listen and let them talk, we end up not getting into a big argument, and we're able to see what's really going on. And I wish I had done that with my brother and sister. Looking back, I'm like, man, I missed a good opportunity to figure out maybe there was something deeper as to why they were mad. Maybe something deeper was going on that I missed out, because I was too focused on how they were making me feel about it. And, you know, but that's life. And that's how we grow and move forward. And I hope, you know, I hope we're able to resolve it, my brother and sister, sisters, you know, because I don't like how things were left unresolved. But I'm not obsessing over it. That's the thing. That's what's different now. Because there's no point, you know. I feel like God's been working on my heart about it, and that's why I wrote the apologies today. I can just pray it works on theirs. And just do my best to listen next time around instead of getting so defensive. And I hope the same for them. Maybe we can kind of, like, we don't have to leave agreeing with the other or, like, saying the other's right and the other's wrong, but I'd like to leave with, like, respecting and understanding their view, and vice versa. Cause yeah, that's what it's about. Cause gosh, some of you may be thinking like, oh, like, did they just call each other bad names? I mean, it was bad. I'm not gonna say what was said. I've already mentioned that, but like, if I was on the other end, I probably would never want to talk to me again. Like, yeah. And it's one of those things where you're like, you've gone a long time without like slipping into this like thing about you, you know. Like, I think we all had this thing inside us, like this ticking bomb that, you know, if we're not watchful, if we're not mindful, and our buttons are pushed the right way, we'll explode on somebody. And I think we all had that. I mean, I've got a friend who's like one of the most relaxed dudes in the world, and there's times I've accidentally said something to him, but it triggered the wrong way, and he got mad at me, and then I realized, oh man, you know. But it's one of those things where I could have responded like arguing back, and it's just fight, or wait, what's going on? Like, totally want to know why you responded that way, because I'm afraid you may have taken what I said out of context. And this friend of mine and I, we were able to make up because of it. And, well, it was Damien. Damien is that time I sent that text that was a quote from a novel I was writing, but you thought I was criticizing you. And, like, I'm glad it caught me off guard, his response. Because if it hadn't, I may have responded negatively, and it could have like hurt our relationship for a bit. But we were able to talk it out. It's like, oh, you know, we're both like, my bad, you know, things are going on and stuff of that nature. But it was that like willingness to listen and to try and see why the other person responded that way, instead of like how I've come to like to say, getting all butt hurt and just get run out, guns blazing, fists flying. And that's what I'm hoping to like fully break free from, you know. I guess it all comes back to like, and I don't want to sound preachy, but like, you know, kind of respond like Jesus, like, hey, you know, he seemed pretty mellow. Some people said some heinous things to him, you know. He seemed to have a good mellow response that actually calmed people down for the most part, instead of making them angrier. And I guess that's the effect I want to have on people. And when I see that, I'm just pissing people off because I'm, I guess, getting too intense or too focused on getting my view across. It's like, okay, it's time to step back. Let the other person talk. Yeah, and that's what this progress report is fully about. Let the other person talk, listen. See if you can see eye to eye on something. Doesn't have to be the whole thing. No way, because I don't think that's possible. Because that would mean someone has to admit they're wrong, and that seems to be really hard for us to do. There was one other thing I wanted to say, because I think it's just, I mentioned it earlier, the whole tough love thing, because I've heard it like my whole life, you know, like, I need to have a come to Jesus talk with this person, or tough love, and, you know, tough love is necessary at times. I was talking with my boy Damien about it. We always have really good discussions. I hope to have him on sometime soon. I think his insights would be just great and amazing. But we were discussing it, like, it seems today people are too quick to use tough love first and mercy and compassion never. I don't know why. I think I know why. I think one is because, I mean, we're a culture immersed in entertainment. We say we're not, like, I mean, maybe some of you are. Maybe some of you like live out in the boonies, but, you know, if you're obsessed with podcasts like I am, like, yeah, we're immersed in entertainment. Video games, TVs, movies, but it seems like in so many TV shows and movies, like, when people get in an argument, you know, one's always clearly right and one's always clearly wrong. And the one who's right always seems to use this tough love approach that really breaks through the barrier of the person who's wrong, and they really just show them. And it's like, oh, yeah. And it's like, but that's not real. Like, that's not how life is. Like, I have never seen an argument turn out like that. And if any of you have, I would love to hear it, but, like, think of it. Have any of you, like, you know, someone says something that's wrong, and the other, someone else stands up and just shows them who's the boss, and that other person's like, oh, you're right, you know, you put me in my place. Like, does that ever really happen? You know, I think of it, it always happens on TV shows or movies, and we get this false sense of what, like, tough love or getting someone to realize they're wrong. And I'm just like, I grew up on that, like, seeing that in movies and thinking, okay, that's how you get stuff taken care of, right? And I, no, it can't be right. Like, I'm very weirded out by it, that does seem, next week I'm going to try and bring it up. I might have to compile a list of movies with, like, crazy arguments that happened and how the person responded and how the other person just, it's like they, like, some magic word or some tone of voice is always used that triggers their logic and reason back into their brain, and then their heart, like, oh, they're right, they hit me right in the heart, they brought my reason and rationale back, and my emotions aren't getting the best of me anymore. Because they used really big-time tough love and showed me I was wrong. Like, if any of you have ever experienced that, let me know, because I don't know if that exists in humanity at all. Gosh, that's such a terrible thing. Like, are they, like, that can't be good writing, right? Like, I guess, well, I don't know, maybe it does serve the purpose of shows like Gilmore Girls and Heroes and, you know, just dramas or crying TV. It's like, I'm going to show you who's boss. Oh, man, if we all treated each other like that, we'd all hate each other, wouldn't we? Everyone in the world would feel like no one ever listens to them and no problems would ever be resolved. You know, because I've actually caught myself in the past arguing with my wife in that way. And what happened? Nothing good. Like, she didn't, like, oh, you're right, you know, and or me do that. It was like, we just kept getting madder at each other and felt like the other one listening. So, yeah, man, don't, like, don't mimic TV or movie arguments. It's hard. But that's what I mean, like, we mimic that tough love or I'm going to show you approach. When tough love is actually just supposed to be meant for, like, if you have a good friend who's, like, cheating on his or her spouse, like, you're like, dude, what you're doing's wrong, you know, knock that off, you know, slap him around. That's tough love. When someone's like, man, you know, when you said that thing, you know, it really, really cut me deep. You know, you're not going to use tough love there. If you use tough love there, like, I've got to really question, like, whether you should be talking to someone when they're in emotional turmoil. So it's having, you know, perspective and being objective and really being able to look at the situation and determining, you know, what's the best approach. Tough love, compassion, mercy, just a listening ear, fixing it. We have all these approaches. I've noticed when I'm impatient, not really wanting to listen, or I'm too focused on what I want to do later, like maybe I want to play a video game, maybe there's a football game I want to watch, maybe there's a friend I want to call, or, you know, something, I'm more apt to try and give quick, easy solutions or fix it to the problem when my wife or someone else is telling me something going on. because I'm not in the moment. I'm thinking of myself and not thinking of them. And I think that's something we all need to look inside ourselves. Like, why am I just trying to give them a quick fix? It's because right now, you know, I'm thinking in 20 minutes I'm wanting to go, you know, go to the comic shop and check out the new comics or magic cards. You know, when we're so focused on ourselves, we're really not wanting to listen to someone. I think we tend to use the tough love approach when we hear, like, when someone's emotional hurt and pain upset us. You know, and so it's not really tough love anymore. I think it's more of like angry impatience, because we're letting out our emotions get the best of us. And instead of being able to respond compassionately or mercifully or listening, we're putting pressure on them. We're getting intense. Why do you feel this way? What have I done? Do you forget about all this good stuff I did for you? And it's like, whoa, that's not letting the person talk. And I'm not saying that to say that's what's all been done to me. It has, but I've done the same thing. All these things, the fix-it approach, the false tough love approach, and the listening, the good part. Like, I've done all of those. And that's why I'm sharing these experiences. And it is hard to sit and listen. It's hard to sit and not taking it completely personal. But I've come to realize, you know, if someone has a problem with me, it doesn't mean they hate me. It doesn't mean they don't think I'm loving or that they don't love me. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. You can still be a really good person or a loving person or a compassionate person who made some bad choices, who accidentally hurt someone emotionally, mentally. It doesn't change the good you've done, but it can negatively affect a person more if you're unwilling to admit it, if you're unwilling to recognize it. And I say that not because, like, you have to help them get over their past, but because if you're not willing to accept it or realize that you've done those things, you're going to be more apt to continue to do those things. I guess that's what's always been the issue I have when I try to bring up stuff like this to a person, is this unwillingness to see that they did it because they continually behave in such a way. You know, and I'm a very protective person. I don't want my children to feel the tongue lashings, those snide comments, those harsh words like I did. You know, I love seeing the bright smiles on my kids' faces, and I don't want something to crush that. You know, and I'm not saying don't discipline the kids, because I had to spank my son earlier today. You know, kids do things they shouldn't. But also, kids shouldn't be screamed at. Kids shouldn't be made to feel inferior. And so there's this whole thing, you know, and you're like, gosh, how do I move forward, you know, with all this stuff? Like, you know, and sometimes I'm afraid, like, when I'm talking to my children, I'm afraid, you know, like, you know, have I imprinted anything negatively on them? And I hope not, you know. I hope not. But I can just move forward and continue to love on them and, you know, raise them in the best way possible. But kids will try your patience. It's just, you know, with children, with siblings, with adults, parents, you know, both sides, listening's key. And you know, be like, all right, you know, yeah, I'm wanting to go to this shop in 15-20 minutes. Let's quit thinking about it, because they're trying to tell me something, and if I don't stop and listen, I'm gonna either try to throw out this fake tough love to get them off my back, or just try and give them a quick fix so they get off my back. That's not how we help people. That's not how we love somebody, you know. So that's what I want to leave everybody tonight. Let's listen to each other. Let's not try to fix each other's problems. Let's not try and tell the other how they're wrong, and we're going to show them with our tough love and televised righteous attitude, you know. Like, I'm Lori Gilmore, and I'm telling you how it is. And it's like, ah, I'm going to show you, Paris. I'm sorry if you have never watched Gilmore Girls, and I apologize that I know what I was just now talking about. There's a lot of ladies, Christina and Kara in particular, who are probably cracking up right now. But it's true. If you ever look at these arguments that these ladies have with, like, with that Lori or Paris have with some of these guys, it's like, and if people really argue like this, like, no one would have boyfriends or girlfriends, no one would get married, because no one would feel loved or listened to. But yeah, you know, let's not fix each other's problems unless someone asks. You know, let's not approach guns blazing. Let's approach with ears and hearts open. Have some dialogue with each other. But not expect it. You know, we can put it out there. If they don't want to, they don't want to. You know, and that's their choice. That's nothing negative on you. And that's also something I want to make clear. Sometimes people are too stubborn. Sometimes people are narcissistic. Sometimes people don't want to see it. You know, and some people are so stuck in their ways, they don't want to see that someone in their family could have been verbally abusive or physically abusive or sexually abusive. You know, some people, like, they put their fingers in their ears, la, 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 I'm not listening, I'm not listening. And we can't force them to listen as much as we want to, as much as we want to shake it into them. The only time I think we should is if, like, someone is getting harmed. You know, if you see a child, like, someone's gonna, like, physically or sexually abuse a child, like, oh yeah, that's when you gotta hit with that tough love, of course. But when it's, you know, two siblings and, you know, I can't force it, you know, and you can just put it out there and hope, you know, one day something come of it. So, you know, I hope we can all in the next coming weeks just kind of listen to each other out there. And hope every one of you is like, you know, tomorrow I'm gonna listen to this person today instead of trying to fix their problem, instead of just trying to quickly give them my advice. Like, let's listen to them. Let's see their side of it. Let's be compassionate and merciful. Let's not tell anybody to get over it, you know, or leave the past in the past and move forward. Because, you know, I'm a prime example of what happens when you shove pain down deep. Eventually, it's got nowhere else to go, and it's going to explode. So remember that. Let's be good to each other this week. I've enjoyed talking to you guys this evening. I am nearly asleep as I sit here. So you guys have a good evening. I need to add music to this, and then I will post it. And thank you all. I want to say this before I sign off. There have been just a huge, like, influx of new followers, new listeners, and welcome. I've noticed that, like, a steady stream of high number of downloads as of late, and that has me excited. Nervous as all get out, but excited too, and it's cool. It's very cool. You know, very encouraging that people have been saying, you know, this has been helping me out, you know, or I can really relate. I'm glad that that's what I want, and thank you for listening and downloading. I have a lot of fun doing this. Like, it's as fun as writing for me. I love writing, I love doing this. And I'm hoping next week, you know, because I love having guests on too. I'm hoping next week to have a guest on. I'm thinking either my wife, Bob, or Damien. You guys have heard me mention them a lot, and you'll get to hear the voice of one of them, but we'll keep it a surprise for now, because those three are listening, and I want them to be surprised too. Maybe I won't tell them till like 30 minutes before recording. No, that'd be terrible. I'm gonna make you guys freak out and stress for the next week. Just kidding. Have a good evening, folks, and good night.